Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
So on Sunday, we were talking about keeping the faith, keeping your passion. Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And we said there are certain things that you must keep this year. One of it is that you keep your faith. That whatever Satan does is to make you lose focus on Christ. That is the essence of what he does. So Satan is not much after your money or your property. As if to say, those things are the reason why he's attacking. Why he actually attacks is because of your faith. So that at the end of the day, you start to lose trust in God. And we are in the end times, or the end moments of times. We see the workings of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not necessarily going to be only displayed when the person comes. The Bible speaks of the man of sin. There's a man called the man of sin who would eventually become the son of perdition. In fact, he would mimic the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to show that he is believable. And the Bible also says that he would do lying wonders, that even if possible, the elect would be deceived or people would be carried away. But the Bible is also clear to make us see that the work of the Antichrist is not going to begin only when the Antichrist appears. It will begin before the Antichrist comes. And one of it we'll see is people just being very cold about the things of God, right? So today, I want to show us from the scripture some important markers that point to the fact that you're growing in the faith. So that's why we call today's service Growing Faith. Growing Faith. Your faith is the born again. The born again faith is the faith that got you saved. I'm not talking about the faith to move mountains I'm talking about the born again faith. Now, that faith, which is your new creation in Christ, now you are in the faith, is expected to grow. All right? So today we'll talk about those things that point to a faith that is growing. Is that okay? All right. So we'll begin with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll start from verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. One to go. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Let's see the Amplified Version. Let's see the Amplified Version. We ought and indeed are obligated as those in debt. Let's read. To give thanks always to God for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you each toward the others is increasing and abounds. Let's see NLT. NLT. Say with me, say, God wants me to grow. All right. NLT, it says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's see the Message Version. Let's read it. One to go. You need to know, friends, that over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It is only right that we give thanks. Do you understand this? So, can you flash me the TPT version or the translation? TPT, the Passion Translation. Do you have it? Okay. It's TSP, that is. TSP, maybe we'll have our own translation, right? I'll be saying, let's flash me TSP translation. I wonder what our translation will sound like. I really wonder what it will sound like. It has to sound like me. How do I sound? Simple. I sound simple, right? And profound. Okay. Okay, so what is this? This TPT. We feel a personal responsibility. This sounds like me, actually. We feel a personal responsibility to continually be thankful or to be thanking God for you, our spiritual family, every time we pray. And we have every reason to do so because your faith is growing marvelously beyond measure. So if you notice, there's an adjective describing how their faith is growing. One says flourishing, one says phenomenally, one says marvelously, another. You see, so, I mean, it had to be so evident that Paul could not but use an adjective to describe how much their faith was growing. The unselfish love each of you share for one another is increasing and overflowing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So in 2020, say with me, in 2024, God wants my faith to grow. Now, when we say your faith is growing, there are markers, there are things that you must see, all right, to indicate a growing faith. If you don't see it, these things, it means that person's faith is not growing, all right? And growing faith has nothing to do with how long you've been born again. It has nothing to do with how long you've been in church. It almost doesn't even have anything to do with you being a leader in church. And it also doesn't have anything to do with you being a pastor. And let me speak to myself now. It doesn't have anything to do with being the senior pastor. If position doesn't make your faith grow, but position can be a leverage or can be an advantage or a vantage point through which your faith grows, because if you take responsibility based on the position you have, then you are supposed to grow. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow this year. And it is my passion that we would raise disciples in TSP.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I just don't want to raise multitudes or raise a crowd of people who just say, I attend TSP. You know, there's a difference between saying, I attend TSP and TSP is my church. And I'm committed in TSP. Or I'm a committed disciple. It's different. So this year we want to raise disciples. Okay? And I will do a series of teaching that will speak on discipleship to explain to you who a disciple is. Like I was sharing with, you know, our pastors, I told them the number one thing you must say a disciple is an example. That's a disciple. A discipler and a disciple, both of them must be examples, because you are a pattern or you are a mold through which other people are going to be forged from. So you must be an example. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So say with me, say, I'm a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
One more time, say, I'm a disciple. If you look at the prayer of Jesus, one of the things, okay, before the prayer of Jesus, if you look at the early church, the Bible says that, and the number of disciples continued to multiply. Not just the crowd. There were times where, of course, you had the crowd increasing, you had the crowd multiplying, but there were more specific details about discipleship multiplying in the church. And let me tell you the truth. The strength of a church is not in the number of people that go to that church. The strength of a church, we want the numbers. Don't let's not get it wrong. And the numbers are here. But more importantly is the disciples in the church. Those who are disciples. So I will show you what it is and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So back to growing faith. There are these things you must see. And 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, right? We've read that, right? That your faith is growing. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Is that a scripture? As new, Pastor Victor? As newborn babes, desire, right? Okay. Is this 2 Peter 1 verse 2? Where are all my Bible students? 2 Peter 1, 2, or 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter? 1 Peter 2, 2, right? 1 Peter 2, 2. So let's read it. Aha. So let's read this together, one to go. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. All right? Let's see the TPT version, and then we'll do the Message version. Especially now that you had a taste. No. Back to verse 2. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God doesn't want you to be a baby. All right? Pastor Phil doesn't want to raise babies in TSB. All right? So please look at two people around you. Tell them, God doesn't want you to be a baby. Tell the other person. No more babies. No more babies. Pastor Ike, come and sit down. All right? Then Message version. Message version. Let's really want to go. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you will grow up mature and whole in God. So you are not a Kwashokrik believer. You know, when we're in med school, they told us about different kinds of malnourishment. There's that from protein and there's that from carbohydrates. You know, there's Kwashoko, there's marasmus. Who knows marasmus? Okay, who knows Kwashoko? Yeah, you know Kwashoko because it sounds like cuss. Kwashoko. That's easy to relate with. So there's Kwashoko, there is marasmus, right? And these are signs of malnourishment. Now, you can be a believer and be like in the natural as if you have Kwashoko. Because you are not, you're complete in Christ, but see what the Bible is saying here. That then you will grow and be whole in God. There will be aspects of your faith that will not be missing. Aspect of your faith expression, for a better, you know, language, that will not be missing in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So are you ready to go on the journey with me? Wherever we stop, we'll stop. Okay? So, what are the signs of a growing faith? I hope you all have your writing materials. All right, it's important that you have something you write because you must be very smart not to even write at all. Wow. You need to pray for me. You need to lay hands on me. But it's good to write. It's good to write. It's important to have notes. It's important to have your notes. For those of you who use your iPhone, it's good you have notes so that your notes are even stored in your cloud. And then you can always access them, all right? So number one, what is number one sign? You will make better choices. Number one, you will make better choices. What are we talking about? Signs of a growing faith, right? So number one, you will make better choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Now, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, that word man there is not as if he was not a man before. As if he was a babe before, then he now became a man. He says, when I became mature, that's the word man there. When I became mature, I put away what? Childish things. Somebody say, I put away. So one of the ways you mature, or one of the signs of your maturity, is that you put away what? Childish things. Let's see the Amplified Version. Amplified Version. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. You know, when a child is reasoning, the child actually does not know it's childish. Am I making sense to you? Yes. So there was a day I was asking one of my father's PAs on how to drive. There was a question I asked. In my mind, that question was an intelligent question. But when I grew up, I now saw how stupid that question was. Should I tell you the question? It's about driving, because I really wanted to learn how to drive. I was 9 and I was itching to drive. So I asked him. His name is Pastor Dauda. Awesome, awesome, awesome man of God. So I asked him, I said, Pastor D. He said, yes. Pastor D can drive. I said, if a car is coming on the other lane and you are on your lane and you are speeding, because in my mind, let me tell you what's in my mind, and there's gallop on your own lane. In my mind, you are supposed to go around the gallop. In my mind. So I now felt that the pothole is an obstacle, because if I keep going, it can either affect the car or the car would tumble or something. Now to you, you're like, where's the point? Because you are mature now. When we were young together, this thing will not have made sense to all of you. So don't look at me funny, okay? So in my mind, I felt like, so I never conceived that you could possibly slow down. So the answer he told me is, you slow down now. Because in my mind, I'm like, how are you going to navigate a pothole, a car coming at the same time? It's like you're going to jam pothole or you jam the car. Somebody just said Mumuna in his heart. No problem. No problem. It's fine. It's fine. I'm just using an example for you. So in my mind, I feel like it's either you jam the pothole or you jam the car. One has to jam. That was my mind. So I did not conceive possibly that there is the possibility of just slow down and go through the gallop and continue. So he now said to me, you slow down. And then I said, oh. So my thinking did not conceive something beyond my mindset. That's why when you are a child, if you are being led, it's better to follow, because you don't know how childish you are. Am I making sense to you? You may not know now. So there was a day I went to see one of my mentors. Then, because I'm a pastor, I was a pastor very early. I've been a pastor for over 18 years. It's probably going to be, this will be my 20th year, actually. Being a pastor. It will be my 20th year being a pastor. So, I had a way of dressing. And I can wear a blue tie, yellow pocket square, red lapel pin. And the pocket square and the pin is scattered. It's not in one place. Then my socks will be green. Oh, you will never know me then. Then if you see my hair, of blessed memory. Oh, I miss that hair. Goodness. If you see my hair, but my hair was good. It was good. I pray that my son will keep the faith. I pray that my child, my boy, his hair will not go dim. You know, so if you see me, then I can now wear a yellow trouser. Do you understand? It's like the covenant God made with Noah. I was the embodiment of the covenant. Rainbow. Man of God, you see me and I will come seriously. Like, I left my room. I dressed with my right mind. And in my mind, I felt like I finished work. Hi! Then I'll go there. Anointing will follow. But you know, then. So I went to see my mentor and he told me, he said, Phil, he didn't know how to tell me. He said, learn to tone it down. he said, learn to tone it down. So in my mind, I felt like he was beefing. I'm like, this is like, if you are, I beg you, just tell me my dress is fine. I beg. Yeah. Because I, jealousy, exactly. Do you know that it wasn't up to a year I realized that I was dressing stupidly. It wasn't up to a year. So you see, that's why when you are being instructed, it's good to seek instruction. Because you may not know how foolish you are now. You don't need to answer me. Just say, I receive in your mind. I receive. Lord, I receive. You may not know how foolish you are now. So he says, when I was a child, I talked. First thing is, I spoke like a child. Another one is what? I thought like a child. Then another one is what? I reasoned like a child. So these are signs of a growing faith, that you make better decisions. When two choices are presented to you, you would likely choose what is right. Your choices will be leaning towards what is right. That's a sign of someone who has grown. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Anybody who is still struggling with that decision to doing the right things or the wrong things. Now, that struggle will never end until we all go to be with the Lord. But when you are in that place where you have not grown beyond certain, at least let your struggles be in progressive order. You can't be struggling with the same things over and over. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, making the right decision, making the best decision is key for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Then number two, you have a better character. Is this simple enough? Okay. You know, these days, I just want to be reading ABC for you so that you practice it. Because there's no point dishing out Rema types and shadows and you can't apply it. Types and shadow, deep stuff, stuffs. All the stuffs that you're supposed to learn and apply is difficult to apply because it's too abstract. So I want to just be a bit simple. Have a better character. That's number two. It's a sign of a growing faith. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Romans chapter 6 verse 21. Your character will be better. Okay? So it is a sign. You see, there are some people whose characters are bad. You know, I know that not everybody has the same level of home training. Is that correct? Yeah. There are some people who are just not well trained, well brought up. They are spoiled. You see, but the word of God is a leveler because it kind of brings you to a place where you can catch up on many things. There are many things I didn't learn when I was growing up. Not that I was spoiled, but there are some things I learned from other people. You see, because I grew up in a house where there were so many people in our house, pastor's house, my father, you know. And then you have people washing your plates, washing the clothes. We had the laundry, we had the driver and all those things. When I got to the university, I had to learn how to lay my bed. Do you understand? Wow, did I just open up myself? I don't mind because right now I'm a very clean guy. I had to learn how to lay my bed. And I didn't learn it from my siblings. I didn't learn it from my parents. You see, I learned it from people outside. So there are some things you would learn. And the Word of God is your better leverager. It's the leverage that brings you to exuding the right character, the right attitude. Some people are naturally rude. Some people are naturally disrespectful. You see, some people are angry all the time. But when you become more mature, one of the signs of a growing faith is that you have a better character. Your overall character changes. It's affected. It can't be the same. You can't tell me you healing the sick is not more important than having a good character.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not, though. In fact, if you were to ask me, choose between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, I will choose the fruit of the Spirit. Because when Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit, he now concluded that by saying, I show you a more excellent way. And when he said that, he was talking about expressing the gifts of the Spirit in love. So if the gifts of the Spirit are not manifested by a fruit of the Spirit, then the gifts of the Spirit are just like you having a voice that is like a clanging cymbal. Do you get what I'm saying? So, a good character. Somebody say a good character. Your character must get better yearly. Your character must what? Get better yearly. You can't be nasty last year and nasty today. God have mercy on us. So that the church is not a bunch of gathering of people who just know how to play the game. Hallelujah, praise God. We know how to talk the language, talk the talk. But you can't live with that person. 12 minutes with that guy is like you don't want to be around him. If you spend 5 minutes with her, something will show. So you need to grow. And one of the ways you grow is that your character, say with me, say,
my character
will be better.
Okay,
tell your neighbor, say, Pastor said
you must have
a better character.
Are
we together now?
Yes,
all right. So it says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What's the next verse? But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. One more verse, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, excuse me, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you know, the funny thing is that bad character would always show. It's always showing. It's like something smelling. You know they hide. You know they hide. Bad character. Sometimes you don't even need to talk. It will still show. Even when you are saying good morning, it's still showing in the good morning. Bad character is bad. Praise God. So this is what I want. When people ask you what church do you attend, and you say TSP, I want them to say no wonder. I want them to say, no wonder. Okay, I understand. You know, there's some people, when they tell you what church they attend, you now say, okay, I understand why. They are well taught. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
that is how we should be in TSP. When they see you, whether you are a young lady, young man, old lady, old man, as long as you're a member of this church, somebody say, good character. Praise God, somebody. NLT version, verse 21. NLT version. And you know, these are the things that the grace of God produces in you. You have received the grace of God. And the grace of God is supposed to be evident in these ways. In these ways. NLT version, verse 21. Romans 6, 21.
Romans 6.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what was the result?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
You are now ashamed of the things.
Say after me. Say, you are now ashamed
of the things
you used to do. Now, let me tell you something. If you are not ashamed of what you used to do, you are not growing. Should I say that again? If you are not ashamed of the things you used to do, you're not growing. In fact, some of us are bragging. In those days, now, because I don't born again, now. In those days, if you know me, they're not they talk to me anyhow. It's like bragging to you. No, that's an old life. Talk to me, somebody. That's an old way of reasoning. That's an old way to think. So please go on, man of God. Verse 22, what does it say? But now you are free from the power. Say, I'm free from the power of sin. And have become slaves of who now?
God.
No longer slaves of sin, but slaves of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, you are a slave of God. What does it mean? It means you are a free prisoner. You are a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. And it is only what Jesus commands you to do that you do. That's what you avail yourself to be and do. All right? So now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So number one, we said what? What's number one? You make better choices. Number two, you have a better character. Number three, you have love for the things of God. Love for the things of God. In fact, this is at the heart of spiritual growth. You would have love for the things of God. You know, a growing Christian will require fewer push to serve God. Should I say that again? A growing Christian will require fewer push. In fact, let me put it this way, fewer prods to serve in God's house. So you will have love for the things of God. Let me give you a scripture. Scripture there is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 to 11. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So it says that if anyone ministers, you see the word there, minister. So you're called to be a minister. You require fewer prods. You won't be persuaded for a long time. You know, the more you need persuasion, it's a pointer that you're not growing in the faith. It's a pointer that you're not growing in the faith. Just one conversation is enough for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says a word is enough for a wise. No, not the Bible. A word is enough for a wise. But there are some things that just sound so nice. You think it's the Bible. It's not the Bible. Even though there's a statement in the Bible that suggests that. A word is enough for a wise. You know what that means? It means that for a wise man, you need to say few words. Because a wise man understands few words. But for a fool, you need to explain over and over. Look at your neighbor and say, the pastor is not talking about you. I want your face to express it. It's not you, pastor, is talking about. You know, a foolish person needs more persuasion. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of God, you are less persuaded. Are you with me, somebody? You are less persuaded. So one of the signs of a growing faith is that you would have less persuasion. You would have love for the things of God. Then number four, you would embrace evangelism. You would embrace what? Evangelism. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, one of the signs that you are growing in the faith is Evangelism is not an event planned by the church for you. Evangelism is a lifestyle. Okay? Evangelism becomes a lifestyle. Evangelism becomes a lifestyle. The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. Are you following me now? So evangelism is something you embrace. Evangelism is something you take in. On Friday, while we were praying, I called out a few persons and I said to them, we're going to be radical on evangelism and I want you to join me in the outgoing, you know, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And let me tell you, if we don't go out, there are some people who will not come in. If we don't go out, there are some people who will not come in. And the best way we bring them in is for us to go out. We need to go tell them that Jesus loves them. Please, this is the ministry of everybody, not just a select few. It is your job. When you say you are doing the work of ministry, one of the things primarily that it means is you are actively engaging in evangelism. That's what it is. Are you following what I'm saying? So a mature believer will actively share his faith. Philemon 1:6, let's see that. Philemon 1:6, we all know this one. An active believer will share his faith. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is inside of you. That's what it says. That the communication of your faith might become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is inside of you. So in this year, when we say your faith is growing, one of the things I want to see is that you are active in sharing the faith. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to number one. What does this say? What did we say? We make better choices. Number two, what? Number three? Number four? Then I read this scripture, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing, which is what? In you, in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we must share our faith. Okay? So say with me, I must share my faith. This year. Now, you have to be active about it. Are you following what I'm saying? Active about it. So, this year, one of the things that I must see about you to know that you are growing in the faith is what? You share the gospel. You minister the gospel to someone. If you are not sharing your faith, you are still a nepios. Nepios, you're still a baby. Those are signs of childhood. So number what? Number five, you become a role model. You become a role model. Yes, you become a role model. It's a sign of a growing faith. You become a role model. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You become a role model. You know why you are writing these things? You are writing them so you can go back and study them. Expand on them. I've not done the best of job. All I've given you is references. So you attach more scriptures to it. Then you expand it when you are teaching others. Because you disciple somebody else. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
When you win that soul to Christ, what is expected of you to do is to disciple that person. And one of the ways you do that is by teaching the person the gospel and all of these things you are writing down. That's what this is for. So it's important to write. There are messages on my iPad from 2014, preached by my father, that I repeat last year. I repeat some of them. I repeated some of them last year. You see, if I don't have those materials or if I didn't write them down, I'm not behaving like a good disciple. A good disciple will take things down. Do you understand? So you can take it away. You jot things down so you can fake it away. It's very important too. Do you understand what I'm saying? So say with me, say, I'm a good disciple.
I'm a good disciple.
So what does Paul here say? He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Why is Paul saying imitate me? Why didn't Paul say imitate Christ? You know, we point people to Christ. That's our job. As pastors, we point people to Christ. But inevitably, there are times where you will point people to yourself. Because in seeing yourself, they will see Christ. You are one of the biggest and loudest examples of Christ to people. So you must be a role model. Say with me, say, I'm a role model. Now, for those of you who think nobody's looking at you, you are living in a bubble. It's a deception to think people are not watching you. You are lying to yourself. People are observing you. Why should people care about your life? Why should people care about me? That's probably what you're saying. But listen to me. If you are not being a role model, it shows that you are not yet mature in the faith. One of the ways you show you're mature is you stand as an example. So let's be practical now. Do you know that your being here in church right now is an example? Your being around for midweek service is an example. Some of you, based on your presence, will call your members, why were you not in church? And some of them will have flimsy excuses why they were not in church. The next time you can correct them based on your being the example. Are you following what I'm saying? So your being here, just in and out of itself, is an example. Your prayer life is an example. Your understanding of the word is an example. Your coming early to church is an example. Because if you just think about it, if everybody comes late the way you come late, have you thought about it? If everybody comes late the way you come late, if everybody treats church or treats God the way you treat God, how's it going to be? If you say, I don't feel like coming today, if everybody does not feel like coming today, are we going to have any church? So you say with me, say, I'm an example. And let me tell you, the first person you are an example because God witnesses you. He's glorified by you being an example, and people are learning from you. So you are a role model. Say with me, say, I'm a role model. God wants you to be a role model. That's how we raise disciples. A disciple is an example. You must show good example. In everything you're doing, you show what? Good example. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There are many more scriptures. Go back home and study on them so you can expand theology. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. You know, some people don't really understand the Bible, but they understand you. Because it's easy to read you. Once they see you, they can relate with you. And when they just observe, you know, one of the first examples of the Bible I saw in my life is my father. Is my father. My father is my biggest example. That's why it wasn't so difficult for me to understand the things of God. Because I saw him. I the way he talks, the way he behaves, the humility at heart, the way he loves people, the way he recovers from betrayals, the way he receives people who offend him, he was my biggest example. He's an example to me, and he's still being an example to me. Are you following what I'm saying? So you must make sure you're an example. But when you set out to show someone pepper, you must understand that the person you show pepper, both of you will grow. You will grow, that person will grow. He's also going to grow. And you will likely be in shame of your action. Actually, it will be to your honor that what you did was honorable in the past, even when it didn't feel like it. So you are an example. Say with me, say, I'm an example. So when newcomers come to church, be an example. When first-timers, when those who are not long in TSP, be an example in terms of passion, in terms of prayers, in terms of commitment to the word. Be an example. Be an example. Don't give yourself to things that will not glorify God. Amen.
Amen.
Then number what now? Number six is you have hatred for sin. You hate sin. I didn't say you will not sin. I said you will hate sin. Are you following what I'm saying? It's one of the signs of a growing believer or a growing faith is that which hates what is wrong. There are some of you who naturally hate injustice. There are some of you, you are like a freedom fighter. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You just want justice. I love that about you. Add sin to that fight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Add sin to that fight. So as much as you hate injustice, hate sin. Hate sin. Because it's a two-way side, it's a two-sided coin. For you have love. Let me give the scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. This is speaking about Jesus. In fact, you see this hatred for sin, it will be a growing hatred. Your hatred for sin last year will be nothing compared to your hatred for sin this year. You will hate sin more this year. It's one of the signs of the gospel. That you understand the gospel, that's what it will produce in you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Let me show you. You have loved righteousness and, it's a two-sided thing. And what? Hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you see, when you start to hate what you are feeling a desire for, it's a way to grow. Let me explain what I mean. Something that is supposed to be a drawing or a lust to you, when you start to hate it, is a good way to approach it. If not, you may never come out of it. So you begin with hating, not to hate the person, okay? Because some of you will not hear what I'm saying now. You go and do another thing. You do something where pastor no send you. Say, pastor say, let us hate sin. You join, you lump the person and the action. Mm-mm. Jesus, God, knows how to separate people from their actions. Can I say that again? God knows how to what? Separate people from their actions. That's what God did. God saw mankind. He loves mankind, but he hates the sin so much. He's the one who even said the wages of sin is death. Right? So to fulfill that word, man must die. But he also loves man so much. So how is he going to do it? That's why Jesus now is the wisdom of God. To solve that puzzle. So Jesus now takes the consequences of man's sin upon himself and therefore frees man through his death. So that when man dies in Jesus, man is dead to that old life. Are you following what I'm saying? So you hate sin and you love righteousness. Say with me, say, I love righteousness and I hate sin. Listen, when you know, I told you on Sunday, don't embrace weaknesses. Do you remember what I said? Don't do it. The more you do it, the more you swallow in it. You just be there. Don't embrace it. Abhor it. Hate it. Find it disgusting. Because it is disgusting. Are you following me? So you hate what is wrong. For you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Then number what now? Seven. Perseverance in adversity is one of the signs of a growing faith. Perseverance in adversity. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. When things are thrown at you, you always know how to stand strong. You always know how to stand strong when things are thrown at you. You persevere in adversity. You persevere in adversity. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So one of the signs that you're growing is that you are not carried away by what is carrying people. Are you getting me? I persevere. Say that with me. Say, I persevere. Let me tell you something here. Whenever there is a Whenever there is an opportunity to suppress your faith, take it as a challenge to declare your faith the more. Whenever there is an opportunity to whatever comes to suppress your faith, take it as an opportunity to express your faith even louder. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Whenever there is an opportunity to suppress your faith, let it be, take it as an opportunity. I'm not saying it right, but it's fine. Whenever your faith is suppressed, take that as an opportunity to express your faith louder. So me, when I'm tired, that is the more reason why I will pray. Do you understand? If I didn't feel like praying before, just because my body was already telling me I'm tired, you can't pray, is the more reason why I must force myself to pray that prayer. I'm stubborn like that. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So you must have that understanding that whenever things suppress your faith, that should be an opportunity to even do it more. You go all out. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have money, that's the time to give. That's the time to give, actually. If you don't feel cared for, that's the time to call someone and check on the person. If you want to do it in tears, do it in tears, but just do it. Whenever there is anything that suppresses your faith, take it as an opportunity to express that faith even louder. That's why the best time to come to church is when you don't feel like it. The best time to read your Bible is when you don't feel like it. And you're looking at the time. The time is passing. It's looking at you. It's passing. And you haven't read your Bible. You will shut down everything and you pick up that Bible and read it. You know that if you shut down everything, things will not... Nobody will die. Are you following what I'm saying? Nobody will die if you lock your phone. If you off your phone, nobody will die. So just off that phone and read your Bible. Praise God, somebody. So what did I say? In adversity, you persevere. When hard times come, it is not a question on your faith. Hard times don't question your faith. Praise God. Hard times don't distract you to the point whereby you lose focus on Christ. You must stay focused on Christ. Trust me, you hear what I'm saying? So these are the signs of a growing faith. I have about 7 more. We will continue from where we've stopped. Let me give you one last one. One more. Let me give you one more. Slow to anger. You are less touchy. A growing faith is someone who has grown in faith is less touchy than he was last year, 2 years ago, 4 years ago. You are less touchy. See, any small thing irritates you. Should I give you a scripture? Okay, let me give you a scripture. You are slow to anger. James chapter 1 verse 19. James 1, 19 to 20. Proverbs 19, 11. Proverbs 14, 29. Proverbs 29, 11. Write this down. Let me define anger for you. Anger is the outward expression of a heart that is short of faith. Anger is the outward expression of a heart that is short on faith. It's one of the most obvious vital signs of an immature believer. Anger is one of the most obvious signs of immaturity, and it needs urgent attention. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are easily irritated, I've hardly seen anybody way vexed past me, because my anger was an issue when I was growing up. Not my anger. I rephrase. It's not my anger. I reject it. It's not my anger. I reject it. I was so angry in those days when I was little boy. I mean, there was no reason to be angry. Just angry. Just an angry child. And not because there were circumstances in my house that warrants me being angry. I think it was just a spirit. It was just an evil spirit that was on me. My father would use that anger to preach sometimes. That's how bad it was. But the day my mother took it on herself to pray for me, she prayed that thing out of me. And I'm talking about age of 9, 10, 11. You know, when a child knows he was an angry child, it's deep. I almost lost the ability to be angry. That's how it is. That is how it happened that way. And sometimes if I want to be angry to prove a point, especially in leadership, I have to fake angry. Because I cannot, it's not in me anymore to be angry. That's why it looks like I can easily be taken for a ride. You see, so when I flip another side, someone say, is this Pastor Phil? Yes, it's me. It's still me. Because discipline is not anti-Christ. If you see Jesus' anger, it was controlled. The anger Jesus expressed was not to slap his wife. It's not to beat your wife or to withhold food from your husband. You know, we have to balance it. Neither is the anger there to oppress your children. Are you following what I'm saying? No. That's not what the anger is for. The anger is not to spur rebellion. That's not the anger. That's devilish anger. So anger in itself is not a sin. But what you do with it is what determines if it's a sin or not. Now, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? He says, be slow to anger. Now, think about it. For you to be slow to anger, it means that anger is controlled. Because if you are impulsive, you can't be slow. From 0 to 100, that's you. No, that's not you, in Jesus' name. But an impulsive person is a 0 to 100 person. He or she is instantly irritated. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. So it's a sign that you need urgent attention. You are not growing. One of the things that will show when you become a mature believer is that anger. You see, I picked out anger because anger is not, I won't just categorize it as every sin. Anger can be sin, yes. But I'm dealing with it because it is a common expression to people who are immature. So that's why I'm picking it out. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know what? God is working on your temper. Amen. And that temper, right, will be used and channeled the right way. Amen. To do the right things. Because you need to be angry. Let me tell you one of the ways I use anger. When I want to pray for someone, I stir up anger. When I want to pray for the sick, I stir up anger. So the anger is directed against oppression. That's a good way to use anger. Not to use it on your fellow brother or sister. You channel anger, you have to be angry towards sin. You have to be angry at sin, angry at weaknesses, angry at oppression, angry at sickness, angry at, you have to vex for poverty. You have to be angry at poverty. So there are some things you need anger for. It's not every, so don't throw away the emotion. Okay? But channel it well. Use it rightly and then let it edify yourself. We'll continue from where we stop. Is that okay? Let's just read one last verse. I gave you 4 verses on anger. We'll just pick one. I mean 2. This is James 1:19. Then pick anyone on Proverbs. Just pick anyone in Proverbs. Okay. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. So it is wisdom for you to look at something, look at a situation, and decide to be slow in anger. That's discretion. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let's go back to number 1. What did we say? You make better choices. Number 2? You have a better character. Number 3? Love for the things of God. Number 4? Embrace evangelism. Number 5? Become a role model. Number 6? Hatred for sin. Number 7? Number 8.
So
all right. We'll go all the way to number 15. But we'll come back at this maybe next Wednesday. Is that okay? Bow your heads down in prayer and say, Lord, help me this year that I will grow in my faith. I will grow in my faith. I will grow in my faith. Let all the markers of growth, spiritual growth, let all the markers of spiritual growth be found and be seen in me. Let all the signs that show a man or a woman that is growing in faith be recognized in me. Let it be recognized in me. Let it be recognized in me. Let it be observed in me. Pray for yourself. The Bible says, take heed to yourself and to the flock. You must pay attention to yourself. Don't ignore yourself. Pay attention to yourself. The word of God is for you first. You first. Before it's for somebody else. You have to be effective at it first. Before you teach others. That which you have heard from me, you have received from me, you commit the same to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Please pray for yourself. We have 30 more seconds. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kira bakatala bandoshka. Now pray in the name of Jesus that you express the fruits of righteousness. That people will see your life and glorify God. People will see your life and see Christ. People will see you and see Christ. Pray for yourself. People will see you and observe Christ. Without a shadow of doubt, you'll be an expression of Jesus. You'll be an expression of Christ. You'll be an example to the believers. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands and give God the praise. Come on. Hallelujah.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.